Hey everybody, today is October 29th, and we've got some parables of Jesus that we read. Now, parables are one of the most famous ways that Jesus used to communicate information about the Gospels and about the Gospel of the Kingdom that he was telling you about. So often his parables start with a phrase like, "The Kingdom of God is like." And have you ever wondered why, of all the communication vehicles that Jesus could have used, he chose to use parables? Well, there's a few good reasons, at least, for Jesus' use of parables. First, the parables form an ideal vehicle for his continued ministry. In other words, if he gives a parable to somebody, they're likely to remember it and pass it on in the right form to the next generation. Second, Jesus valued parables because they were an instrument of revelation, but only for those to whom it is given to see. Now, this may sound like a strange thing, but parallels essentially divide people. Some people will say, "That's interesting, I've got to hear more." Other people will say, "Yeah, I pretty much got it." And the fascinating difference in the division is the people who think they pretty much got it don't pretty much got it. It's the people who ask the next question that wind up growing. And Jesus says to his disciples right in the middle of the parables, "The keys to the kingdom of heaven have been given to you." What's the key? Well, the key is asking the next question and continuing to grow. The third reason why parables are so effective is that it spurs you on to decision. Once you understand what's going on with a parable, you wind up disturbed. There's oftentimes a surprise ending or a surprise hero that makes you live your life differently. Fourth reason why I love the parables is parables are communicated in such a way that they will befuddle the professor, but be accessible to a small child. Parables are a genius way that Jesus used to include everybody, except those people who would exclude themselves. The kingdom of God can never be understood from the outside. When a person understood who Jesus was, to hear a parable gave you no insight without that click, which enables you to be able to say, "I see." That's given to those who are ready to receive it, and so parables were accessible to them. Now, the parable of the sower is a little bit different than the other parables in that there's more than one point. There's several details in the story that Jesus tells which represent other real-life people or groups. In most parables, there's only one significant detail or two that are meant for us that are meant to stand for something else, but the parable of the sower has many, and it forces you to ask many different questions. The parable of the sower reminds us that the really critical factor is the quality of the soil. It makes you ask the question, "What kind of soil am I?" And it forced Jesus' disciples to ask the question, "What kind of soil is the person that I'm talking to?" It forced them to concentrate on the people who were the good soil, who would be receptive to the information that Jesus brought, and to move on and shake the dust off their feet when they were rejected. So that's what we must do as well. Well, there are a number of details that give real significance to this, but I want to ask you the question, what kind of soil are you? You look at the four different kinds of soils. Is the Word of God just bouncing off of you? Is it getting in but being snatched away by the evil one? Are the cares of this world choking out the Word of God in you? Or is it taking a deep root and causing you to multiply 30, 60, 100-fold? The same question could be asked of those that you're reaching out to. Are you reaching out to people that have rich, loamy soil, like the kind you find in central Illinois from the Mississippi River? If it's that kind of soil, then the crop is going to grow. Throw your seed there. The other thing that's a key point of the parable is, keep throwing seed. One of the odd things that you come to when you look at the parable of the soils is, this guy seems to be indiscriminately throwing his seeds everywhere. I mean, what's he thinking? And the truth is, when we sow the seed of the Word of God, we never know how it's going to land on people. As a matter of fact, I've been shocked sometimes that there have been people who I think are going to be good soil that wind up just walking away. And there's other people that I might have written off that when they hear the Word of God, it takes root in their life and expands and grows. Well, in the next parable, the parable of the weeds among the wheat, it focuses on a question that must have been as troubling and significant in Matthew's day as it is in our own, and that is the question, why is there so much evil in the church? And why are there weeds growing up with the wheat? And more importantly, what should we do about it? Jesus answers this question very clearly when he says, leave them all to grow together side by side. Because it's not your job to figure out which is weeds and which is wheat. That's God's job to figure it out. The truth is, in every church, there will always be a mixed bag of people that are doing well and people that are doing evil. There will always be a mixed bag of believers and non-believers. And what God's saying is, it's my job to sort out between the two, not your job. You just keep on sowing seed and growing and watering and helping people move towards me, and I'll sort them out later. The three parables which chapter 13 ends are also unique in Matthew's gospel. They're much briefer than the parable of the sower or the parable of the weeds, but they're just as vivid and just as important. The hidden treasure and the pearl make exactly the same point. They both teach that it will cost you everything you have to gain the treasure, but it's worth it. It's worth it more than anything else that you will pursue. It's worth it and more. There's a subtle difference between the two stories. In the first parable, the man plowing the field was not looking for any treasure. He was simply going about his daily routine when he literally stumbled over it. In the second story, though, the pearl is found after a long and careful search. There's a great parallel to people's spiritual journey here, because sometimes people just stumble over the good news of Jesus. They're just at the right place at the right time, and they recognize it as a treasure. Other people will try and sift through truth statements and world religions and all the different options. This was my story, before they wind up coming to that pearl of great price. But similarly, when they get to it, they recognize it, and they realize it's worth trading everything for. Well, if the weeds in the wheat story teaches us not to judge others, the parable of the net, the next story, reminds us that at the end of the age, there will be judgment. Somebody will judge them, a separation, and God is the one who's going to be that judge. Well, it's amazing how much power there is in all of these parables. I wish we had time to talk about them more, but I want to close with this idea. Each of the parables forces us to ask a tough question about ourselves. And parables are brilliant because the stories stick with us, and so should the questions. Here's some questions you should reflect on after reading these parables. Number one, what kind of soil are you? Number two, are you sowing seeds? Number three, if you're in the church, are you trying to separate the weeds and the wheat? Or are you leaving that up to God? Number four, are you pursuing the pearl of great price and the treasure hidden in a field in a way that's worthy of the value of those items? And number four, are you helping growth to happen? Are you keeping eternity in mind? Are you well aware that one day judgment is coming? And every single person that you lock eyes with, every single person that you meet, they matter to God. And one day they too will be judged. And so the word that we bring them is of utter importance. There's not much that will last for eternity. And these parables remind us of this and challenge us to act accordingly.